G'day everyone, this is Matt Jones from the Property Resource Shop, and today I've managed to get hold of someone very special that I've been wanting to chat to for ages. She's often jet-setting around the world, so I'm really happy to finally get our time zones aligned. Jenny Brown has been, you know, a really good friend and colleague of mine for the best part of a decade now, and I've always been inspired by Jen and the way she goes about living her life, managing her business, and also helping others in her many fundraising pursuits. Now, Jenny is a very successful property investor in her own right, but has also gone on to become a best-selling author, an international speaker, a mentor to hundreds of students, maybe thousands, including me at one point, and ultimately helping a lot of people make a lot of money, which is really pretty cool. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Jenny Brown. How are you going, Jenny?
Good, thanks, Matt. Thank you. That was a very, very kind introduction.
Oh, I spent ages writing that.
That's good. It showed. Good to be prepared, I always say.
That's right. That's exactly right. So thank you for sharing your time with us today. I know you've got a lot of things going on. So I'm sure a lot of people on my database, you know, would have heard of you before. I'm sure you've spoken at our property group meetings in the past, and we've chatted to you on the phone. Well, it was a while ago now, but for those that haven't heard of you before, do you want to give us a little bit of a background on, you know, from a property side of point of view, you know, how you got started in property and where that's kind of led you to today?
Okay. The short version is what we'll do today.
Yep.
So basically, I grew up as a child with a father who did property. And we were really, really poor, and he decided to use property as his means of getting us out of the poverty trap. And so I grew up with, you know, everything around me. We lived in old houses that he would renovate while we lived in them. It would take a little while, and, you know, I lived with dripping roofs and dirt floors and all sorts of stuff, backyard dunnies. And he'd do them up, and we'd move. And, you know, as I got a bit older, he moved into rental properties, and, you know, we owned blocks of flats and things like that. And so I grew up with this this mindset, I guess, of it was just normal to be a property investor and to have property around you, which was a great way to grow up. And something I had no idea about wasn't normal. I really didn't get that until I was, you know, in my adult years. But what happened with me was because we were poor, and, you know, we suffered through that quite a bit when we were younger, I made this decision to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And at 30, I wasn't a millionaire. In fact, I was far from it. I was broke, divorced, facing a very bad health scare, and life was absolutely in chaos. And so I looked around and I said, well, what do I have? What can I do? How can I get out of this? What choices do I have? And you know, that's a really good thing for anybody listening. We all have choices. And the choices that we make result in our future. And so I looked at it and said, I don't want to live like this. I want to change what I'm doing. I'd just come out of a very, very bad marriage. And I went, okay, well, I grew up with property. I know property. I understand property. And so I went out and I did a property deal. And it was really tough. I had to really push to get the finance and make it work and everything. But that one led to another one and another one and another one, and got me through all the I'm going to use the word poop, probably not a good word to use, but got me through all that and actually gave me the foundation to build a life that was my choice and a life that I was living well. And that's what I've been doing ever since, pretty much.
Awesome. And do you think, you know, your upbringing and your background to getting you to this point is what has really, you know, inspired you and driven you to help others become financially free using, you know, property investing and business strategies?
I do, Matt. I also think, though, that, you know, we were brought up with that philanthropic. My father was an extremely generous man. And even after he passed away, I found out, you know, years later, of people he'd helped that nobody knew about that he'd helped. And, you know, at his funeral, someone came up to me and you know, kind of, I can't tell you the details because it might divulge who it is, but, you know, the end result of that was that my father had helped them out to the tune of a lot of money and resources and time. And you know, there were lots of things like that he did. So I kind of grew up with it. Can I tell you a really funny little story about that? My dad used to grow flowers and corn and things like that for what we called investment, but it wasn't investment in property, it was an investment in charity. And so he used to grow this stuff, and he'd grow like chrysanthemums for Mother's Day, and he'd grow corn and sell it, and that money was paid out to help people. Like that was his way, his philanthropic way. And you know, I've only just realized that I'm doing the same thing with our farm. But anyway, so we had this dog whose name was Madam, and she was a red setter, an Irish setter. And my dad used to keep his investment money under the bed in a plastic container. And one morning we woke up and there was money strewn all down the hall, out the back, on the lawn and everything. And the dog, for some reason, had gone, had never touched this plastic container full of cash, you know, underneath the bed. And she picked it up and taken it for a while. So the investment money was a bit light on that year because I think we lost a bit. But, so Dad had always been like that. But I also, you know, when you've been to what is rock bottom for you, for me it was, you know, divorce, health, all sorts of things, you've got some choices to make. And I really appreciate the people that helped me on the way and the skills and abilities that I had to be able to actually pull myself through that. And I think not everybody's blessed enough to have those things or those people around them. And I think it's a responsibility of people like myself who've been there and who understand that and have experienced it to actually help others. And even more than that, it's not just the people who've been there. It's a responsibility of all of us. We live in one of the best countries in the world, and we actually have a responsibility as citizens of that type of environment to be helpful to everybody.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's spot on, Jen. I mean, and it's going back to what you said about choices, you know, and we do have that choice to help others. I remember someone told me early on when I was getting into wealth creation and property investing that, you know, you don't have to climb this massive mountain of wealth to start giving back. You know, you can just start doing it now. And it kind of opened my eyes, and it feels so good to be able to do that. And yeah, I had not a similar path, but I definitely had a lot of people helping me, and I continue to have people help me. So it's always such a privilege and a pleasure to be able to actually give back to those people, whether it's, you know, in a financial sense or in sharing skills or resources or whatever, and to see those people grow and go on and do amazing things themselves is just so satisfying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know you love the philanthropy side of things and fundraising, and you do a lot of great work there. What about for you? You know, what do you do in your, I mean, for me, when I create wealth, it's about buying experiences, you know, and doing stuff with my family and living an amazing life. You're doing a similar thing. What is it that kind of floats your boat, I suppose, with creating wealth, and how do you integrate that into your own lifestyle?
You know, that's a really interesting question, Matt, and I think I would have answered it differently at every stage of my life. Mm. So now that I'm a bit older and hopefully a little bit wiser, originally I would have started off by saying, you know, I need money to live on and you know, I don't want to be poor and all the rest of it, and it would have been all about the money. And it, you know, it probably is that for most people, and it probably was like that for a long time for me. But then I realized that it's not about the money at all. It's about being able to do what you need to do. And it's interesting, you just said, or what you want to do, you just said something in that little comment you made back then about you realized that you didn't have to wait to give. I have that happen a lot with me. People say, oh, I can't wait till I make some money so I can give like you do. Mm. And it's like, well, hang on a second. I didn't make the money and then start giving. I actually gave all the way along, but I can give more now that I have wealth. Mm. And so for me, it's not even about the money anymore, which sounds really, really weird. And if I was mentoring somebody now, and when I do mentor people now, I actually don't often talk about the money. I talk more about the type of life they want to live and the type of person they want to be and how they can achieve that now instead of waiting for the money. Because everybody thinks, not everybody, but you know, most people think, oh, I've got to have the money to do this. I've got to have the money to do this. Well, actually, you don't. You don't have to have the money to do it. You have to make a decision to do it, and then you find a way to do it. And it's often without money. Mm. And so it's not the money. It's not about the money. for me, it's about the satisfaction of knowing that I'm contributing. It's about knowing that I'm helping others. It's about getting up each day and making a difference in people's lives. Mm. And I guess to some degree in my own as well, but the thing for me is that if I wake up and I'm selfish or greedy or I'm, you know, doing things that are really full on just for me, I'm actually not going to be satisfied with that anyway. I don't believe that intrinsically we are those type of people. I think really deep down, all of us have a reason and a purpose that is outside of ourselves and has nothing to do with money or what we enjoy. Now, having said that, I do enjoy, you know, the things that money helps. It's wonderful to be able to just, you know, give money to a cause or something like that because you've got it. It's wonderful to be able to open your house to somebody because they need a bed. It's wonderful to be able to get up in the morning and decide what you want to do and not have to report to a boss, etc. Mm-hmm. Those things are wonderful, but that's also how I choose to live my life, and money, whilst it helps, is not the driving factor in those types of things.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost like a double-edged sword sometimes. You know, you got to be focused on the money and create it and make the effort to do things to create wealth. But yeah, you've also got to be able to let it go too. It's not about the money, you know. It's kind of this dichotomy that people struggle with, I think, where I think you've got to be able to, it's like the be, do, have concept, where you kind of be that person that you want to be. Choose to be that person first. You know, it doesn't take the money to be that person. You start being that person straight away. And the money flows from there.
That's correct.
Now, speaking of money, now, I wanted to get you on the call because I know you're embarking on a whole new journey of wealth creation that I wanted people to hear because, you know, more and more people are struggling to get finance. So property investors that are listening to this recording, they're out there trying to, you know, get money from the bank and leverage off that and buy deals and continue investing. But often they hit a glass ceiling, and it's getting even tougher with APRA changes that are happening and what banks are doing. So what I've found is that you need to have something else, you know, particularly if you're planning to leave your job and go into property full time, you need to have something else to put food on the table, to create cash flow, something to leverage off. And I know you've moved into this realm, and I really wanted people to hear about what you're doing because it's something that I think they can really benefit from if they're at the right stage. So how about you just give us a bit of a rundown on where you're going with this new venture?
Excellent. I will do that for you. So let me start by saying, you know, when people are looking at making money, they basically look at three areas generally. And those three areas are shares, business, and property investing. And a lot of people land with property because, you know, it's sort of something we know. It's the Great Australian Dream, for example, and all the rest of it. So they land with property and they head into that direction. Now, I'll tell you straight up, I looked at shares and it doesn't interest me. I know nothing about it. I'm not an expert in that, etc. So, you know, I landed in the property game as well. But a number of years ago, I was listening to a webinar. And it was with a fairly well-known Australian property investor. And this person was actually on this webinar as a business person, not as a property investor. And I had never heard this person talk from that perspective before. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, my goodness, this guy is a business person, first and foremost, and a property investor second. And you know, around that time, I'd also been having some revelations of my own, and that was that the property investing game was actually a business. And when I had turned my investing into a business rather than being an investing game, that's when I'd actually started to really achieve things. And so, you know, I'm listening to this guy and I'm getting this aha, and I'm like, well, okay, I already know that I'm in the business of property investing. But it was really interesting to hear him talk from this perspective of a business person. And you know, I've always dallied around business as well, which is why when I decided to turn my property investing into a business, it was like that wasn't too hard. And I'd grown up with business as well, and, you know, sales and that type of thing. So it was like, oh, this is really interesting. So what happens then, or what happened then was I got really focused on having a business of property investing, but I also went looking for business opportunities because I thought, you know, I've got all these skills, which most property investors either have or will develop as property investors, and why not use them in other areas? And around the same time, or you know, a few years down the track as this was all happening, and another one of my friends who's a property investor also got a similar revelation, and he started looking at other businesses as well. Anyway, so this, you know, this whole thing about business was coming up and coming up and coming up. And the other thing as a property investor is I have always been rather unusual when I have educated and mentored people with the property investing, and that is I believe I am the only person in Australia who has ever told my clients to get out of debt. Mm-hmm. Now, most property investors will tell you to use debt and use it and use it and use it, you know, OPM, other people's money and all the rest of it. But I actually believe the opposite. I believe that you should get out of debt and be debt free. Debt is a very, very strong, it's like a noose around your neck type of thing. And, you know, if anything goes wrong and you've got all this debt, you won't sleep at night. And I mean, people will be familiar with those feelings. And having gone through some of that myself, particularly in the GFC, where I wasn't sleeping at night because I had a bit of debt, I always encourage people to get out of debt. And so, you know, I looked around for business opportunities. And they obviously have to fit your value system. And one of my other friends, who's also a speaker, David Wright, had a business called Simply Budgets, where he had developed this amazing program to help people with their spending. And one day he and I were chatting on the phone, and he said to me, you know, we'd been speaking together, travel together. We live near each other up on the Sunshine Coast. And he said to me, I've just got this idea, but I've never done anything with it because I don't really know how. And he's got this amazing product and program. And he said, you know, I have this idea of starting a new business and a new industry called spending planners. And I'll train people to do what I do, which is helping people with their spending, not their budgeting. Budgeting looks at the past and is record keeping, but this actually looks into the future. And it works out, you know, what you need, what your dreams are, how you're going to achieve them, etc. And I just went, oh, I love it. I'm so in on that. How can I be a part of it? So we set up an organization, a business school type of thing called the Spending Planners Institute. And now we train people to be spending planners. So we train them to actually work with people with their spending. And it's just awesome. It's taking off. It's growing. And the wonderful thing about it, from my point of view, is obviously it's a good financial, you know, reward. But the main thing is that it's helping people. Mm. I mean, you get the benefit of helping people to get out of debt. You get the benefit of helping people to, you know, achieve their financial goals, to get their spending under control. And one of the most important things, sleep at night. It's a really big deal to a lot of people who are financially stressed. So that's the little journey I've been on, and that's my latest little venture.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen David's product and what he created over the years, and I mean, a huge amount of people have got access to it, and so it's so cool to see you guys come together. You know, I can see how there'd be complementary skills and resources coming together to create this sort of this institute, you know, that's going to help so many people.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is. That's so true. I've got the business skills, and David's got the product. So it's been a good match.
Yeah. So how does it work? People kind of they're trained by you guys in a classroom scenario. How does it actually unfold?
Okay, so to become a spending planner, it's kind of like, you know, if you want to become an accountant, you've got to go and get a qualification. And then you can do what you like with it. You know, you can go build a business, go work for someone or whatever. So the Institute has been set up to train the spending planners, and it's also the governing body of the industry. So, you know, we wanted to have an industry that had integrity and ethics and people who really care about people, very similar values to David and I. And so what we do is we train the spending planners and we certify them. And that process involves three things. The first process is what we call phase one, and that's delivered online prior to phase two, which I'll talk about in a minute. And the online phase of phase one is things like getting ready to be in business. So if you don't already have a business set up, it's setting up your business, it's getting your merchant facility. So it's got practical stuff in there on being ready to be in business. It also starts to set you up to think about, you know, what does being in business look like for me? Who do I want to work with? What type of people? You know, because even with spending planners, you can niche. There's lots of different areas you can niche into. You might, for example, want to work with tradies because you come from a tradie background, or you might want to work with medical professionals because you come from that background and you understand the language and the challenges that those people are facing. It's entirely up to you. So phase one is all about setting up your business and putting the foundations in place for your business. And then phase two is actually a three-day face-to-face training. And in that training, what we do is we actually teach you about business and the program. So it's kind of like, you know, I kind of hesitate a little bit to use the term, but it's like a business in a box. So everything's already set up. The steps are already there that you take your clients through. And what we do is we go through those with you, we show you what they are, we train you in how to use them with your clients, we train you in the tools that we use, and we also talk about how to, you know, actually establish your business. So, you know, if you come and you are required to come to that face-to-face with your business ready to run, so we actually have people leave the face-to-face and sign up clients within 24 hours, you know, so they actually get their business off and running straight away. And so that, yeah, that phase two, that face-to-face component is all about how to run the business and what it means to deliver the product. And then after that, we do a phase three, which is a seven-week kickstart. And the name tells it all. In that, you put into practice everything you've learned and you build your business, basically. So, you know, we give you, you know, training on how to build your business and things you've got to go out and do to get your business up and running, and also just reinforcing the training with the product, because we want to make sure that you're delivering the product in the best way possible for both yourself and your clients. So that's basically the training component. And that phase three is delivered online as well.
Right, okay. Wow, I wish I had heard of that 10 years ago. Oh, my God.
I know. It's so exciting, Matt. And you know what the really wonderful thing is? You know you're onto something that's really important to you when you get excited about it every time you talk about it. And, like, even me going like that, I'm like, oh, man, this is so cool. Like, you know, it satisfies so many things. You can make money out of it. You can help people. You can do it part-time. You can do it full-time. You can do it in your pajamas. Because the business itself, the spending planner business, it's actually your business, so you can deliver it face-to-face or over the phone. I mean, we've got spending planners who are in Australia who have clients in Europe, and they do it by Skype or by phone. So, you know, it's just such a great little business model and so versatile. It's amazing.
Oh, man, it's something that a lot of people are searching for, I think, these days, because they, you know, technology allows us to do it in different ways. You know, we can, like you say, do it in our pajamas and run businesses from home, and you know, I can't see any point going to work anymore, really, unless it's for something specific, because it's just so inefficient. But I know when I started in business, my God, just even that phase one you were talking about and how to set it, I just bumbled my way through it. It took me so long and so many challenges. I think I probably got on the phone to you a few times, Jen, in the early days trying to work it out. So even just, you know, I see so many people trying to start up a business, and the first thing they do is go and get some business cards, you know, and get all the fun stuff rolling, and it's, you know, a website maybe, and spend all this money and then don't actually
Matt, can I let you in on a secret?
Yeah.
I still don't have a business card.
Yeah, I've actually done away with mine too. It's like, what are these
things
for?
I had one once. Yeah. It probably made a great fire starter.
Yeah.
I seriously don't have a business card. And actually, that's a great point, because that's one of the things we actually really drive home with our spending planners, is you don't need a website. You don't need a business card. You don't need brochures. You don't need flyers. You don't need all these things that people waste money on and time. You don't have a business because you have a website. You have a business because you have happy paying customers. And we call them HPCs, and it's a bit of a catch cry at the Institute. But you know, you don't have a business unless you have happy paying customers and money coming in the door.
So
you know, we really encourage our spending planners. Sure, they get their Facebook pages and websites over time, but go out and get the business first, get your clients first, and then you can build those things. Even at the Institute, David and I spent about 2 hours and we put together the most dorky website you've ever come across. It was really, 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 really bad. But we're quite happy to admit that. You know, it was just a place for people to go because it looked like we had a presence. And then we spent a bit of money and we paid someone to make it prettier. And, you know, we're still going through that process now, but we don't really muck around with it too much and all the rest of it. We don't have business cards. We don't have brochures. I think we made a pull-up flyer at some stage, but, you know, we're just starting to work on our Facebook presence and it's just not been important and it hasn't been beneficial. Any of those things would not have helped us to build the business.
Yeah, yep.
That's a really good little business tip right there.
Yeah, yeah, get the money coming in the door. Don't go into debt before you even start because you're faffing around with
Actually, here's another really good little tip, and this goes for everything. You know, if someone says to me, as a spending planner, and I'm not a spending planner, right? I run the Institute. But, you know, if I was a spending planner and someone said to me, what do you do? And then they were, like, interested in what I did. We teach our spending planners to actually say to those people, let me make a time, and so they control the appointment. And that's what we should all be doing. We should be controlling those appointments. Mm. If you say to someone, oh, here's my card, give me a call, they'll never call you. Mm. It's unlikely, you know? And so what's the point of it? Your job as a spending planner, if you want to help people and help people to get their spending under control, is to actually engage with that person and set up an appointment and control it so that, you know, you're working your way through it.
Yeah. You talked about some of the time frames around those three phases. I mean, what sort of time commitment do people need to put into this business to make it successful? Is it varied depending on how much success they want for it, or what's the minimum they need to do?
It's absolutely very. I mean, obviously the training, like any training, takes a bit of time, but it's not a huge investment in time because we've been as careful as we can to you know, make it worthwhile time-wise. We realise that a lot of people that become spending planners up until now have been people who are either adding it to their business. So, for example, a mortgage broker or a financial planner or an accountant can add this as a stream to their business. Mm-hmm. But we also have the people like the mum and dads or the property investors who want to have a part-time business and earn some extra money. And so once the training's completed, and again, it's online, so you complete it at your own pace as long as it's completed before the event. And we send it out. Something like a month before or something like that, you know, to get people going. Because some things take a little bit of time, you know, you might have to go to the bank to open a bank account, although these days you can often do that online. You know, the merchant facilities can all be done online, that type of thing. So a lot of it can just be done in the comfort of your own home, you know, just a night or two or three a week for a couple of weeks. And you get that sorted. And then obviously the three-day face-to-face, they're held in Brisbane. And so you have to attend that. And then the kickstart, you know, it's really up to you. It's up to you if you want to build a big business or a small business. And obviously the more time people put into it, the bigger the return.
Sounds perfect for property investors that are trying to transition away from work or maybe just do less hours or leave work altogether. It just gives you that that bridge, you know, that bridge that'll take you from, you know, the 9-to-5 grind to full-time property investing or whatever you want to do, you know, and having this bridge in between to help you, you know, pay the bills along the way, you know, and make that transition to the person and what you want to be.
Yeah, look, we have spending planners who have used this to go from full-time work to, say, 4 days a week.
Yep.
And they've worked out, you know, how many clients they need to do that, and then they just go out after that and really, you know, that's their goal, so they head towards it. And once they've achieved that, then they might go to 3 days a week, if they can. You know, some work doesn't allow you to do that, but some work will allow you to do that. Mm. And that's the goal, you know, for some people. Other people, like I said, have added it to their current businesses. And we actually have a property investing business who added this to their business, and they've been hugely successful. Because they've got clients coming in who want to invest in property.
Yep.
And, you know, this really helps those people to get a handle on their spending and their goals and what they want to do. So it really just depends on what the end goal is and what they want to do.
I love how that it's so versatile because it's not it's not a franchise by the sounds of it. It's something that you take ownership yourself and plug it into wherever your needs are, you know, based on
your current
position.
And that's a really good point, Matt. It is not a franchise. Mm-hmm. Once we train you, it is, again, like you becoming an accountant, what you do with your certification, providing you stay within the ethics of the industry, is up to you. It's not a franchise. You can become a spending planner, you set up your own business as a spending planner. You can even hire staff, and we have people who've done that. We also have another level of spending planning, which is called paraplanning, which is people who work for spending planners. And they're the people who work with the clients, so they don't have their own business, but they actually work in the industry. And we've started training paraplanners as well, which is really, really exciting because it means people's businesses are growing. Mm. And so, you know, you can be a one-man band or you can be a 10-man band. It's really up to you.
Yeah. And so how do you, monitor this with people? You have the three phases, then they go out there, they're licensed, they're ready to go. How do you support them achieve their own goals and get that, ensure they're getting a great return on their money, an actual financial result at the end of the day?
Well, you know, Matt, in actual fact, we can't determine that with somebody because I could train you and you would go out and you would work because it would be a big goal for you and you'd get your clients and you'd get your business up and running. But the person sitting next to you in the training, you know, in the phase two training, they could go out and do nothing and obviously their results would be nothing. So we cannot dictate or determine the results of people because you have to do the work. And I'm very, very, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like that. It's like everything, you know, what you put in is what you get out. Mm. But I said to you at the beginning, you know, the Institute has basically, well, it has two roles. The first role is to certify and train people in the business. The second role is to support them. So we're the membership body as well of the spending planners industry. So, you know, you pay a very small membership fee each year and that membership fee goes to building resources for you, building awareness of the industry. Obviously, that's something we have to do to get people to be more inclined to hire a spending planner and, have them as part of their team. And the other thing is, you know, we have monthly webinars. So in those, I'm doing one this week with the spending planners. And in those, we talk about things that will help them get their businesses up and running. So this week I'm going to talk to them about the numbers game, and how to, the more numbers or people you talk to and how to maximize those numbers. It's the same as property investing, you know. The more deals you look at, the more likely you are to find a deal. Mm-hmm. It's a very similar process. And that's why it's so good because business goes right across property investing and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So we have, lots of things like that. We have a massive resource center for them that we're continually adding to and building. You know, they've got access to David and myself to help, with questions about the business and things like that. So there's a whole support mechanism in place there as well, which they can take advantage of if they want to. And if they don't, well, you know, they don't. But we find that our successful spending planners are in touch with us fairly regularly.
Mm, that's awesome. I'm just thinking back to how I made the transition from full-time work to property investor. I became a postie.
Yes, that's right.
And that was bloody hard work. So I wish I'd done something like this in the beginning. It would have been a faster track and an easier track, I'm sure.
And you know, it's interesting, Matt, because you would have had to have driven to the post office, and that's time.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about this business is, as I said, you can do it from home. You know, if you want to meet your clients face to face, and some people like that. Mm. Then you can meet them in a coffee shop. So there's no overheads per se. Mm. You know, you don't have to have premises. And that in itself is just such a great thing because that's the other thing we looked at is how do we make this a low overhead business? Mm. You know, so the only things you need for the business to run it, the only things you actually have to have besides your training is a laptop computer, which most people pretty much always already have, an internet connection of some type, which again, pretty much everybody has. And if you don't have it, you can go get it at the coffee club or the local library or somewhere like that. And then the third thing is a phone. And pretty much everybody has a phone. So, you know, the three tools that you need, most people already have. So then, you know, the only overheads after that are things you want to do like your websites and stuff like that, which you don't have to do. And, you know, obviously there's things like insurance, and all that type of thing. But we talked to you about that, and you know, there's lots of opportunities out there. So it's very, very low overhead to get into. There's just actually you sign up and you're training. And
just lowers the risk too, when you, especially when you're getting into business, if there's no real costs, no massive costs to try and recoup, it just lowers that risk massively, which is great.
Yeah, and obviously the training is not free.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's a very good business model, and therefore it's priced accordingly.
Yep.
However, you know, if you work at it, you can recoup those costs quite quickly.
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate that.
Yep.
You need to work at it. If you're not going to work at it, well, then obviously you're not going to get the return.
Oh, yeah. And I would say it goes without saying, but a lot of people need to hear that as well. You know, like you said before, you only get out what you put into anything, property, business, family, your own life, whatever. You know, you've got to make some effort and set some goals and work towards them. So, yeah.
One of the great things about this business, Matt, that I get really excited about is, you know, with property and I love property, as you know. It's been very, very good to me, and I've had a wonderful time with property. But it takes time to get a return on a property deal.
Mm.
With this, as I said to you earlier, we've had spending planners leave the phase two training. And, you know, we had one, she finished at 5 o'clock, and she had an appointment at 5:30. And at 7:30, we got a text saying, well, I just signed up my first client.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, that's phenomenal. And I mean, does that happen every course? Pretty much most times we do the face-to-face because we only do them from time to time. You know, we have somebody go out and within 24 hours they've signed somebody up.
Mm.
But again, you've got to do the work. You've got to have the appointment ready to go and all that type of thing. But we find that people who are really keen will do that. And you know, that means they're starting to recoup the cost of the training already, and then it just goes into profit after that.
Yeah. You know what I love about this, and I always look for, you know, where the value is in this, when I'm looking at a new business or an opportunity, the value is, the end value is people getting this knowledge, you know, learning how to spend properly. You know, I mean, it's not even taught in schools properly these days, I don't think. It wasn't when I was at school, where just spending less than you earn, you know, and we're bombarded with opportunities to use credit and no money down and no interest repayments, all this stuff, and people are just getting suckered, and you know, it's a terrible thing to see. And to see this being spun around with something that you're doing here that's really going to help people, that's massive value being provided there for every client that comes on board that your people are training, is just awesome.
Yeah. You know, Matt, one of the things in society today, one of the biggest causes of divorce is money problems.
Mm.
And if you just think about that for a minute and think about the impact that as a spending planner you can have on your clients, and again, your clients have to do the work. That's the other thing. You don't do it for them.
Mm.
You are actually holding their hand through getting them, you know, their life on track with their spending. But it's just so rewarding. And you know, I said to you about, you know, sleeping at night, but it means people lose the knots in their stomach. They don't get to the end of, you know, the week or the month and they go, oh my goodness, I can't afford to pay the mortgage or send the kid on a school excursion, let alone even think about going on holiday or, you know, investing in property or whatever it is that floats their boat. And when you think about the impact that money problems have on society, and then you think about the impact of helping people to actually learn how to manage their money and their spending.
Mm.
And, you know, it saves marriages. It means that children don't have single, you know, parents. It means that our communities are happier. It means that people are sleeping. That means that they're, you know, I read a research study recently about the effects that money had on sleep and then that sleep has on people's jobs. And how ineffective they can become as a, you know, as a direct result of their money worries at their work. So it means that we work better. You know, there's just such a big impact on our lives when we get our money sorted and we can sort of go, oh, you know, I don't need to worry about where the money's going to come from because I know what I need and I know how I've worked it out and I can actually, I have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that roadmap. I've got a plan and now I can work that plan.
Mm.
And, you know, that's one of the biggest things we hear from spending planner clients, you know, is I'm sleeping at night, I've got a plan, you know, I've been able to pay off debt, I've been able to do this, I've been able to achieve this goal, I've been able to do this thing I've been dreaming about, and that's phenomenal.
It brings the power back or the control back to your life, I think, because it doesn't matter how much money you're earning, if you've got problems, more money's not going to solve it unless you manage the money that you got already.
Yeah, so that's true.
Striking.
And that's where we're very different to other programs.
Yeah.
We actually work with you so that you get your spending in order, not us doing the work for you, which doesn't achieve anything.
Yeah. Look, I love this, Jen. If it's all right by you, I want to set up a web page on my site, actually, so that people can get more information about you and maybe some links to your webinars that you're doing. Would that be all right if we can...
Absolutely.
Create that on my site, and that way all my members can go there, access the content, the stuff we've been talking about today, and then eventually get access to you and David and wherever they want to go with it.
Yeah, well, we actually have a webinar that's about 90 minutes, and it explains everything, gives you some great business tips as well, and it talks about the whole program, the investment, etc.
Yep.
And, you know, that would be a great place if someone's interested in. And you know, you're right, Matt. It's great to earn a bit of extra money for maybe investing. It's great to get your spending in order so that you can get your life in order. Mm. You know, there's so many things with this. But to become a spending planner actually helps you as well, because not only does it help you give you extra money to invest, but it also gives you that philanthropic thing. But it also helps you to get your spending in order while you're helping other people, you know?
Yeah, and if you're actually teaching it, then that's when you really learn, when you learn
Absolutely.
Stuff and teaching it to somebody else.
And I've had people say to me, oh, no, I couldn't be a spending planner because I got so much debt. And I'm like, well, you actually probably are one of the better people because you empathize and you understand. Yeah. And, you know, as you work your way through this, then those are the things that you can share with your clients and help them. And when you're leading the way and they can see you actually working your way through it or that you've worked your way through it, you know, that's really powerful.
Yeah, that's powerful. Awesome, Jen. Love it. All right, so I've worked out a site here. So if people go to propertyresourceshop.com/SPI, so Spending Planner Institute, so propertyresourceshop.com/SPI, that's where we're going to post a whole stack of info there, links to Jenny's webinar, so you can get access to that 90-minute session and get a real good rundown of what's happening. And then go from there. And hopefully, I'd love to see people getting access to this for many, many reasons that we've discussed. You know, getting their finances in order, helping others, making that transition from full-time work to a property investor. You know, the list goes on. So, I hope people jump on this.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Obviously, I think it's great.
That's good.
Well, I am. I'm so excited about it. You know, it just fits everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Fantastic, Jen. Hey, well, thanks heaps for sharing that info with us and giving some tips around a lot of stuff. I've got a page of notes myself here. So thank you for sharing that time with us all today. And on behalf of everyone listening to this recording, thank you so much for your insights and your generosity. And hopefully I'd love to see people get along to propertyresourceshop.com/SPI and hear even more from you, Jen.
That'd be awesome. I look forward to it.
Cool. Thanks, Jen. Have a fantastic day and hope to catch up with you again soon.
You're most welcome. Bless you heaps.